In this season of Love Your Life, we focus on the Quran with the ultimate goal of creating a strong bond with the Holy Book for us to reflect and connect one ayah at a time. I am Maya Al-Saeed, and welcome to Love Your Life.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to send his peace and blessings upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Peace be upon him and his companions. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wa hlal 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You're listening to Love Your Life on Oman FM, and I am your host, Maya Al-Saeed, with the aim of connecting your heart, insha'Allah, one ayah at a time. By, how do I do that, Yani? It's not something that I do, and many people always thank me, Maya, you have such an amazing show, thank you so much. It's honestly, subhanAllah, because we're talking about the Quran, and because I have amazing guests. They don't see themselves as amazing. They think, oh, but I don't have anything to share. You know, what's my story? But their story is literally your story, is one of you listeners. We all struggle, subhanAllah, to connect. We lose our way. We lose our path. But there's always, subhanAllah, a way that we get back to the Quran. And this is what my guests share. And it's not easy to be live on the Nation Station, Oman FM, and to come and talk about something very personal. But I do have, alhamdulillah, another guest with me today. Her name is Alex Normando. So, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Alex.
Wa alaikum assalam.
And as you all know by now, this is a live show. And you're more than welcome to call us, because this is your show, to call us, reflect with us, speak to my guests, speak to me. And you can do so by calling 24602058, 24602058. And as a token of appreciation of being part of the show, I am giving away the Clear Quran, a copy of the Clear Quran, a physical copy, which is only the English. So there's no Arabic eyes, but this is one of my favorite English translation of the Quran, because I feel it's so easy to understand. So I'll just repeat the number one more time, and then I'll start talking to my guest. And the number to call is 24602058. So Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alex, people don't know this, but this is the first time I'm meeting Alex. Although we followed each other on Instagram for years. And I think you were shocked when I told you that I wanted to have you as a guest.
Yeah, I didn't think that this is something that I'm an expert speaker on whatsoever.
But here's the thing, you don't have to be an expert speaker. Yes, I do have some guests who are experts in this field, but it's more the people, you know, like you and me, who are struggling to connect with the Quran. And this is who the show is for. So it's important to have people like you, yeah? To talk about the Quran. So tell us a bit about yourself. I know you're Canadian. You're married to an Omani and you're a mother of three. How many years have you been living in Oman?
Permanently since 2010.
MashaAllah.
But I visited in 1995 and I came some summers and Christmases.
Oh, MashaAllah. And so were you a born Muslim?
No. There in my town at the time when I was a kid, there was absolutely no Muslims. Probably by the time I was a teenager, there was one.
Wow.
Yeah.
SubhanAllah. So how did you know about Islam? Or is it something that you've always been, like, I'm stuttering. How is your journey into Islam then?
I think when I was a kid, that one Muslim, like when I'm in middle school age, I obviously saw Muslims in other places, but I didn't think about them too much. I was telling my husband, in Canada at that time, there wasn't the whole terrorism, Islam thing. What you saw on the news was that in Mecca, people trampled each other sometimes on the news. That was that time period of news, before they fixed some of the transportation. And so that's what I knew. And when I was like a teenager, tweenager, the one Muslim who was in town, his wife was friends with my mother. So I visited them even when my mother moved away to live in Oman. Because my stepfather was working at PDO here. So he made dua that I would become Muslim. I used to like to go to his house and eat his wife's pastries. And he would paint. And I loved to watch him painting. He was Egyptian and very, mashallah, really beautiful at painting. Mm-hmm. And he said one thing he regretted in life is he hadn't raised his children to be Muslim. So he made dua that my sister and I would become Muslim, which I think when he made that dua, I never thought about it because it was just something random.
Why is he making that dua? Like,
and he didn't tell me anything about Islam. It was just a dua that he made while I was watching him paint, and he gave me some paints to play around with. So no idea. Nothing then at that time moved me at all. So as a teenager, my dad encouraged me to read a lot. So I thought of Islam as the Quran being like one of those influential books in human history. So you must read it at some point. Like you have to read the Bible, you have to read the Torah, and you should read the Quran because they had so much influence on human history. Mm. So it's on the list of my to read someday books. But I didn't give it enough importance. Then I met Omanis. And some were really good practicing Muslims, which I wouldn't be able to judge at that time. Yeah. And some were not. So it was nice to have that pre-cultural knowledge before I even started to think about becoming Muslim. So it's like Allah is planning everything in the right way for you.
In the right time.
To have those things. But I think it was 2004 or 2006. I'm really bad at dates.
Don't worry, you're not but the only one.
I was walking in Mutra, and it was in the summer. It was a summer holiday break. I was visiting here, my mom, and I was in Mutra just behind, and I heard the Adhan, and the only Arabic I spoke back then was Ana Asif, which I said to as a man. It's the only Arabic I knew. Like, if I stepped on someone, I'd say Ana Asif. But I heard the Adhan, and I knew what it was saying. Mm. It said, go to pray. Come to pray, come to your good, come to pray. And I was like, whoa, this is scary. And the mosque right there, it had a sign, and it said, no Muslims allowed. So I was like, I don't think I can do that voice in my head that's telling me I should go do this. I was like, but maybe I'll get one of those books now.
Mm, you meant referring to the Quran. Yeah. It's your time to read the Quran.
So I went to Sultan Center in Koram to buy it, actually. And when I was going to buy it at the till, when you asked, who was your first Quran teacher? There was a girl at the checkout who I've never met in person again, and I lost her contact, but her tag said Intizar.
Mm-hmm. Intizar.
She wouldn't let me buy it, but she bought it for me, and she gave me her phone number because she said, when you read this, it's in English, and not all English words translate perfectly to Arabic.
Mashallah.
So on my way home on the plane, I read it, and I was like, whoa, most of this I really love, but I don't like this one part. So I was in a layover in an airport waiting to connect to a flight to Canada. And I phoned her and she answered. And I later, right after this, I lost her contact. I must have dropped her card somewhere. But she explained what the word meant. And then I didn't have any problems with it. I'm like, I think I already believe this.
Subhanallah. So Intisar, if you're listening and this...
I would love to meet you again.
And this is, you know, you feel, oh, this is me. I remember doing this. Please call. The number to call is 24602058. 24602058. But this act of kindness, yani, first of all, it's Islamic. It's so Omani. And to do this with the Quran, she has a bigger intention than just gifting you. To her, this was something that she was doing for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
And she's like my first teacher.
Subhanallah. Yeah.
Alhamdulillah. And after that, because I knew a little bit about Islam from having been a tourist in Oman in a way, like I know that women wear hijab. I don't know why. I know nothing. Just from reading the Quran, I know what the Quran says about it, but it's not something I have great knowledge in reading it once. Mm-hmm. But I decided that I do believe it and I am this very strongly. So I was in an airport. And it was, I believe it was the Seattle or San Francisco airport just before connecting a flight to go home. And I found a hijabi lady, African, also don't know her name. And I never asked, I said, how do I become a Muslim? Like, what do I say to be a Muslim?
Was it on the same flight?
The same flight.
After you've spoken to Intisar?
The same flight.
MashaAllah.
Okay. And she helped me say my shahada.
At the airport.
In the airport. I never saw her again. So that's how I became Muslim. Then becoming a practicing Muslim and studying Islam, that took a bit more time, like at least 2.5 years. Mm. But I felt like now I can study this and try to implement it in my life.
Because I feel, for those who, honey, first of all, your story into Islam is so fascinating. So I feel like I'm still there. But those who follow Alex, like I follow her, one of the reasons why, Alex, I wanted to have you, because I feel you love history.
Yes.
And she talks on your stories and on your account, it's all about history of Oman. And also you talk about Islam, which is why I wanted to have you here, because I feel that not many people approach the Quran in that way and have that relationship. And because Quran is, it's history, it's stories, it's facts, it's life, it's everything. But I love the way that you look at the Quran and you deal with the Quran in your day-to-day life.
I think I sometimes find it difficult to read the Quran, like just reading it straight, like some people do. I have to have a specific, except for that very first time I read it, I think. But when I read it, I'm searching for something. So I feel like every time you read it with a specific topic in mind that you want to learn about, or a specific question that you want answered, you'll find some guidance on it, or you'll learn more than you set out to learn when you're studying a specific topic. Because in Canada, probably the most things that people ask us is like, why do you wear hijab? Inheritance of women, jihad, so divorce rights. So those are the subjects that I first started with studying in depth. And I started it like you would do research for like a literature review in university. So I'd be like, oh, what is all the evidence? What is the context of the evidence? Like which part in the Quran was it revealed for the hadiths? Like which part of, like which time period, like is there something later that might change the meaning of that? What was the context in which it's coming from? Which I benefited when I was in Canada from meeting two brothers, our imam in our masjid. He was actually very good at explaining Islamic history, because I had questions about that as well, as you can imagine.
I have no doubt.
and there was a brother, he studied international law, but he is from Emirates, and he was doing, you could say he was semi an understudent for Maliki jurisprudence. Mm-hmm. So when I was explaining, when I was asking questions to him, I was friends with his wife. Mashallah, he would like hang this curtain in his living room so that us Canadian girls could like sit there and ask him
questions through the curtain.
Yeah. And I was really grateful that he taught me that in Islam, actually thinking logically like that is part of Islam. The science in Sharia for how you understand things is similar. You have to assess the evidence, the context, and then the scholar's opinions and the context of those opinions, and all these different things weigh in before you just tell someone, oh, this verse means this, or this hadith means that. So I found that helped me avoid making many mistakes or moving away from Islam like some people perhaps encounter in the beginning of their journey to Islam, especially when you encounter cultural Islam versus Quranic Islam.
Subhanallah. Alhamdulillah. So with that, I'm sure you want to hear more, but we will, inshallah, get to know more of Alex and today my brain is mushy. Lack of sleep with having a toddler who's sick. So anyway, inshallah, we'll be right after this break to know more about Alex and her journey into Quran.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Love Your Life on Arman FM. This is Maya El Saeed. With me in the studio today is Alex Normando. And it's very hard for me to say this name
without making it super French.
Exactly.
If you want to make it French, it's okay.
Then I have to say Alice Normando. Anyway, today we are talking, the title of today, I forgot to mention it at the beginning of the episode, it's The Quran, A Book of Answers. And if you've heard Alex's intro, you would know that she loves history, and the way she approached getting to know the Quran, which I love that what you said, that it took, you know, to become a practicing Muslim, 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I think it's very important for us to share that it does take time. Yeah, because it's you're changing your belief. You're changing yourself. It's not going to happen overnight. So don't be so hard on yourself. And there's a verse in the Quran. Can I remember it now? إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With hardship, there's ease. So even though you find it difficult, subhanAllah, ease comes after that. And then Allah would make everything easy for you. And I'm sure it's something that you could relate to.
I think the most significant thing is, no matter what difficult thing happened, the difference between before Islam and after Islam is this total peace.
Mm.
Like, you know it's right, so you feel this peace. So maybe that is the ease. So no matter what hardship, you have this ease that no matter what happens, you trust Allah's plan. You know it's meant for a reason.
I feel, in addition to ease, I feel everybody's who is on this journey to find their purpose and stuff like that, it feels a void. It, as the title says, this Quran answers a lot of questions. The question of why am I created? What's the purpose of this life? And all of that. And the Quran answers that. So as well, so with ease, I feel it fills, it answers your question and it fills a void.
Yes. And beyond that, like all of the conflicts of humankind and the history of all these wars and fighting, it basically comes down to Shaitan just wanting us to destroy ourselves. Mm. So that,
take
to me,
take us down with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, subhanAllah.
So like all this fighting and splitting into factions and groups, and this religion is better than this religion, over time in history, and the changing of how governments become in charge of scripture and they change it over time to be beneficial to the government. The Quran has all of that written down. So if you're studying other religions first, you'll notice that when you read the Quran, like it explaining some of those issues you might have had. Like you liked another religion, but you found there's something lacking or something missing or something unexplained in it. When you read the Quran, you'll find the answer for that that you are missing.
And is that what you found?
Yes. Like I love Judaism, that it's earlier than Islam.
Mm.
That's why I studied it first.
Okay.
But I like that Islam is for all of mankind specifically. It's spoken to all of mankind. It's not spoken to one group at that time.
Mm.
In Christianity, like Jesus dying for our sins, I didn't accept that he could die for my sins. So it was something I objected to. I also, having attended many churches and gone to a few temples, the status of women in Islam, like Canadians would always find this strange when they ask me why, what did I love about Islam, is the status of women at that time when Islam is revealed. There's no comparable culture that had the rights of women that Islam has. Even people today who have issues with Islam and women, it's because they're seeing cultural Islam, not Islamic Islam, and they're seeing these issues. So if you think of how much money we have for mahar, if you think of the support we're supposed to have from brothers and society, from sadaqah, from zakah, from the government as women, you won't complain about your smaller portion of inheritance.
Mm.
So when they complain about these laws being unfair, it's because they're not seeing the application of Islam as a whole.
And that's the problem. I think many people judge the actions of Muslims. So they judge the religion by the action of Muslims. Yeah. We're not supposed to do that. You judge the Quran by reading the Quran, not by the people who read the Quran. I judge their action. Does that make sense?
Yes. And when I came back to Oman after I had become Muslim, the Omanis that I knew best were, I probably shouldn't mention who they are.
Don't have to mention them.
I won't even describe. It's okay. Too obvious then. But but I asked them some questions about Islam and they'd be like, no, you have to ask Nasser. You can't ask us. We're not practicing, but we know this is wrong. Don't look at us. Go to a practicing Muslim. So they sent me to the right person. And I appreciated that because I met Muslims in Canada who would tell me answers and they had no knowledge and they weren't practicing. So I appreciate the honesty of people who will send you sincerely, I don't know the answer, go ask someone who does, or go back to the book and read it. That's the answer for you. compared to just taking an answer from a person. So I did gain that from having had the experience in Oman.
I love the fact that they were so honest, even with themselves.
Yeah.
I am Muslim, but I'm not a practicing Muslim. So may
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah
help them to be better.
Allahumma ameen. So if we go back to the Quran, I don't know if you want to share it, but it caught my attention at the beginning. You said there was one ayah. Is was the reason why you called intisar. Do you remember what that ayah was, the one you had difficulty in
accepting? You know, in the stages of divorce, like when you have a conflict when you're married about hitting.
Mm.
The word itself is translated to hit, but Arabic has so many words for hit.
Yeah.
So she explained it in the context of all the hadiths in which it's used, actually used in other places in the Quran, which is mostly in hadith. Mm. And it's not hitting. Like not hurting someone. It's more like embarrassing or pointing out, like disciplining in the army when the prophet pokes someone with a tooth stick.
Mm-mm.
So I was like, okay, well, I mean, that doesn't sound like getting, like you're ashamed because you're doing something wrong in front of others. To me, that wasn't bad. Mm. I mean, I don't know if that would work on me, but I'd probably end up just divorced. But I mean, you could try.
SubhanAllah, because I was intrigued, like, okay, I'm wondering what's that ayah that, you know, made her call intisar, and then after intisar explained it to her.
The benefit of that Quran that I had, though, like the translation is terrible in terms of the meaning,
mm.
but it was enough there still that I could convert. But the poetry and the way the Arabic poetry and the rhythm of the Quran is in that one. So I have better translations now. I still go back to that one to get the feeling of what's, I think because it was translated from Urdu first to English, and the writer who translated it was a poet. So he managed to keep some of the poetry of the Quran. Like the Quran itself tells you one of the miracles is you can't produce a like chapter of it.
You can.
And I've been reading Jahiliyyah poetry and trying to understand the structure and the words to help me learn Arabic. I'm terrible still in Arabic, but I'm realizing that the poetry, at least in English, we can't replicate it.
Mm.
It's not possible. And it was very limited in what you could put, even in the poetry. So one of the miracles of the Quran is, despite all these limitations in the rhythm and the rhyme, it had so much content. Like maybe Jahiliyyah poets could write 150 lines. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard.
Mm-hmm.
In that same quality of verse, but the Quran is beyond 150 lines, mashallah, and the poetry is still there, and the rhythm is still there, and there's more meaning. So I remember reading about one Jahiliyyah poet. He's just after, well, he was before Islam, but during Islam, he remembered the Quran being posted on the Kaaba, like a verse of the Quran written down, and he converted after he read it because he's like, no human, no jinn could write this.
Mm.
So I think that's one of the benefits of me having read that version, is I can understand that miracle of the Quran from my terrible but rhythmic translation. So because if I read the clear Quran, the translation is much better.
Yeah.
Much more clear. But in that version, the rhythm and the poetry is more clear.
SubhanAllah.
So.
But I love that, your love for history, and we talked about this before starting the show, the episode, that you love history because of stories.
Yes.
And the way, you know, I'm really bad at history, but I never looked at it as stories, but maybe now, because I love stories.
But when you read the seerah, don't you love it because it's the stories of the Sahaba?
That's true, I do, but I never saw it as, although it's history, but when I think of history, I think of school history.
My daughter says it's not as fun as when I give them tours.
So because you love history, and even the way, you can't see Alex, but the way she's expressing herself when she's talking about all of these, I think now I want to read. I want to read more about the history because you're making me love it from the way you are expressing yourself.
Well, Oman has such early Islamic history, so it is exciting, and most of the world doesn't know about it. They're like, oh, Saudi and Syria and Jerusalem. Mm. Like, they had these other countries. But I was like, Oman had Muslims.
We have very rich history.
Like, right at the start of Islam. There's masjids here with two qiblas. That's so early.
Yeah.
Alhamdulillah.
Anyway, I'm enjoying the conversation with Alex, but it's time for a break, and we'll be right back, inshallah.
You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you.
Welcome back to Oman FM. You're listening to Love Your Life with me, your host, Maya El Saeed. And in the studio today, we have Alex. And we are talking, her topic today, the topic we're talking about today is the Quran, a book of answers. So if you've just joined us, then you missed a really great intro, especially the story of how you converted to Islam. So you can listen to this episode, inshallah, on SoundCloud. And you can get the link on Oman FM or on Instagram's Oman FM's Instagram account, or mine at maya.alsaeed. If you want to join us as well, you're more than welcome to by calling 24602058. 24602058. We always love to hear from you. So, Alex, you know, you mentioned, I'm still going back to the story of how you became a Muslim, because it was, you heard the adhan when you were in Matrah. You decided to go to Sultan Center and pick a copy of the English translation. Arriving at the till, you find Sister Intisar, who we hope you're listening. And if anyone knows who she is, please call us and get her in touch with Alex, because Alex would love to be in touch with her. And she gifted you that copy, so you ended up not paying for it. And then you read it on your way back home to Canada. And then, so I feel, yani, the Quran and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wanted you to have it because he knew it was time for you.
Alhamdulillah.
But then I believe also that your heart and mind had to be open to receive the truth, I guess.
Yeah, it was something I hadn't previously thought of researching besides reading it just to read it. I definitely didn't think it would be the religion for me, most likely, because I didn't think of it as the oldest. I thought the oldest is probably going to be more correct, because Islam is revealed later.
Yes.
But when you study Islam, you realize that Islam is earlier. It's just the Quran itself is revealed at that time period.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it was the dua of Salah from my town when I was a child that was being granted then.
So the Egyptian painter.
Yeah.
His name was Salah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then the Quran says every place, every person has a warner. So you can't say you didn't know. So Salah was my warner, maybe, or my dua. Like, our town didn't have anyone else, so.
SubhanAllah.
And later in his life, after I'd already, he did get to know that I became Muslim, alhamdulillah, before he passed away. So he was so happy. He saw me, I think, on a city bus in the city and was so happy. So,
inshallah.
Alhamdulillah.
The power of dua, people. You know, when you make dua and you are sincere and you know that, inshallah, it's going to happen, bi'idhnillah. Yeah, and
going for that, I told you it took some time to become practicing. One thing I had difficulty was understanding from the Quran exactly how to pray. I hadn't read yet the Sirah. I hadn't read all the hadiths. And the hadiths are a bit confusing until you understand how to study them first. So I didn't know how I was supposed to pray. So I decided to make dua that I should learn how to pray. Like, Allah will send someone to teach me because I have no idea. And I was with my non-Muslim friend when I made this dua and she heard it. And the very next day we were in a mall and this Libyan man named Sammy, I learned his name later, he came up to me and he's like, and I was with my friend who's non-Muslim.
The same one you made dua?
Same one she heard me making the dua. And he was like, I'm so sorry, I promise I'm not a creep. But I never seen you before, and you're a Muslim. I was wearing hijab, but he's like, perhaps you don't know anyone. Do you need someone to teach you how to pray? My wife has a friend who's English speaking, and her husband is Emirati. That's how I met this other friend. So like, all these people came into my life right the day after, like the dua was granted the very next day. And my non-Muslim friend right away, she's like, does that work on lottery tickets? And I was like, no, gambling is haram. She's like, oh, she's like, I don't need to learn how to pray. I need to learn how to learn win the lottery. I was like, no, praying is better for you. I bet you, like, your life will become better. Everything, like, I've so far in life, I've never made a dua. I'm worse, honestly. Though I don't make dua enough. Like, most people ask more duas than me. But when I have made them, they're always granted. So either right away, or if it's like something that you're asking for that is not good for you, or your something better is coming. Mm. I found, like, I was married before and I got divorced. At that time, I was asking, oh, can I have kids? Can this marriage work out? Can these things be fixed, please? I want them to. And the answer was always like, no. Mm. And it was true. Like, after I let go of that want and that need, better came, like, right away. Like, as soon as my divorce finished, it's like I had a new life and I had kids. Like, I got married again almost right away, and I had kids right after. So it was like, it's not the person that was written for you. So just wait.
I feel our life would be so much more easier if we really had that tawakkul. I've said this before. Just that we rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fully rely on Him, even if it's something that we want. Again, there was a verse that we said in earlier episodes. We might want something that's not good for you.
Yeah.
That's not good for us. But we love it, but it's not good for us. And we might not want something and it is good for us. You know?
Lots of things.
Yes, subhanAllah. But when we have, and I love that Al-Wakil is one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names, that we can rely on Him and trust Him and believe in His plan. Because as many, many of us said, you've probably heard it so many times on the show, Allah is the best of planners. And I don't know if you agree. I'm sure you do. Please share. Call us. We'd love to hear from you by calling 246-02-058, 246-02-058. Sorry, I said it right, Ahmed? Okay. So when thinking as well of, because I have a feeling you have some other ayahs. I won't say favorite ayahs, okay? But I'll say ayahs that have had a huge a kind of impact on your life. Is there any that you can share?
My favorite, actually, the first time I read the Quran is about when Moses is coming to Pharaoh and he's saying, please let the Jews go, let us leave. And Pharaoh's like, give me a sign. Hmm. So he put his staff down and it became a snake. And it's a story in Bible and Torah and the Quran. And then Pharaoh, because he's proud, he asked his magicians, his sorcerers, his priests and priestesses to come and do magic of the same kind, that same level, because they don't want to believe the sign. Hmm. So the magicians came, they did the sign, they made snakes, and it gets swallowed by Musa, alayhi wasalam's snake staff. And at that point, as soon as they see that, they know this power is greater than anything. It's like the power that they're asked, the only way they do magic is by asking, like, jinn to help them. So when they're doing that, in almost all kind of magic-y things that people do that I've studied, they ask for protection from something. Mm-hmm. Before they use those spirits. And I think they knew at that point, this is the power that we're asking for protection from. This is the Lord of the worlds. Mm. And as soon as they did that, they, like, started to prostrate and they asked for forgiveness from Allah. Like, this is what they did. And then Pharaoh, he is threatening them that he's going to chop off their arms or their hands and crucify them. And even that, they're like, let us die believing like this. So I think that part of the Quran, which is, I think, from Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verses 117, roughly to 122, mm-hmm. that section, that story really moved me, because I see, like, once you know the truth at that level, you can't deny it. You can pretend to be arrogant like Pharaoh and say you don't believe it, but you can't deny it once you've seen it at that point. So you can't anymore.
And something that we have to keep in mind is all the stories that are mentioned, even if it sounds like, how did his staff turn into a snake? Yeah, it sounds a bit fancy, or not fancy. What's that? Fantasy, like, how, I can't believe this, but it did happen. This is the truth, okay? It's not a story of a fantasy from a a random book. No, this is a story from the Quran, and it's there for a purpose, because there are different people that need different signs.
Yeah.
Subhanallah. People need to know that Allah is the creator of everything, and He can do everything and anything. And just because the Quran is for humanity, then Allah provided signs for every type of mind, heart, and soul.
Yeah.
Subhanallah.
So if you and I are reading for the same subject with the same question, we may find a different ayah that answers that question for us individually. It might not be the same ayah for both of us that answers that question that we're looking for.
Because it will depend on what is your intention and what you're looking for, and what's my intention and what I'm looking for.
And what Allah wrote for you to be like what you will be moved by.
True. Because what will move me is not necessarily what will move you.
Or what will you understand when you're reading something? Like, I can read Quran or be studying like the names of Allah. And my son, he'll have a totally different perspective. He's like, Nur is very important for the creation and the end of the universe. So Allah is this. This is really neat in science. And then he shows me a science video. So I was like, oh, well, that's a different perspective than I was going with. But that's fascinating. So different minds will see things differently.
Subhanallah.
And even studying the same thing.
Yeah, subhanallah. And I love that we're so different, because you are, yes, we are same. We are two females. We're both married. We both have kids. But the way you were brought up, the way I was brought up, the experiences you've had, the experiences of what I had. So, of course, the experience we will have and the journey we have to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is completely different. Yet, it's a book that teaches us, that heals us, that comforts us. There is no other book in this world that does this to humans. Subhanallah. We will take a short break and be right back. You can call us on 24602058. We would love to hear from you. Welcome back to Love Your Life on Oman FM. I am with Alex, and we're discussing how the Quran is such a miraculous book. I know you know that already, but this is just a reminder, because this show is about connecting your heart one ayah at a time. You're more than welcome to call us and be part of the show by calling 24602058, 24602058. Get a chance to talk to Alex. If you're like her, you love history, then please call and you can maybe share that love. And if you'd like to ponder an ayah with us, please do. And inshallah, if you do and you are part of the show, you are inshallah could win a copy of the Clear Quran, the English translation, which is one of my favorite, and it's just the English text. So just a token of my appreciation. When thinking of the Quran, Alex, so you mentioned one of the favorite ayahs that you had is interaction with Musa and Pharaoh's magicians, because of just the power that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed the sorcerers and everyone who was watching that interaction between them. Is there another ayah as well that probably had a similar impact?
All of Surah Al-Quraysh, because I think especially it's speaking to people who are not, they're ignorant of Islam when it's addressed to them at first. And it's telling them, I gave you these things. Allah gave you safety. You've been safe. Not only safe, but you've been blessed with wealth from the caravan trades that they did in the summer and the winter. Mm-hmm. So when I think of my blessings before I knew about Islam, like I'm safe, I'm technically in a country that's not the most supporting of Muslims internationally in our foreign policy, but I'm still given these privileges and these chances, you know. So even like I'm kept safe. Like when you look at Israel, for example, right now, Israelis in general are safe. They're privileged compared to other places. They seem wealthy. You have to ponder on those blessings. Where are they coming from? Like even if you are at that time an enemy of Islam, you're getting a chance. The Quran is giving you a mercy to reflect on that and a chance to do something about it, to be grateful.
Excuse me, I'm having a coughing fit. We'll just go for a break and then be right back. Okay, my apologies. My coughing has had its tantrum, so now we're back. So you were saying about Surat Quraysh, how you found that... What were you saying? Because I was coughing.
So sorry. that it talks about the privilege and the blessings that you have. So if you want to read it...
Yeah, I want to. I'm just looking for it here in the English one, because what I love about this... this version of the translation, it gives a bit of an intro to the surah. So I'm trying to just look for it here. Just give me a moment, please.
No worries.
What is the number of the surah? Do you know? I know it's in the last chapter.
I think I didn't write it down, actually.
The researcher.
I didn't memorize it because...
I don't want to put you on the spot. It's okay. Al-insan, al-naba. Okay, so it's somewhere here. Al-mutafin,
al-tariq. Apologies.
No problem. My listeners are used to this. City al-balad, the night. The glory al-bayina. Sorry, I know I should be more prepared, but this is what happens when you actually just have a conversation with somebody and not planned. So this is part of it. Okay, so here we are. So it says, the people of Quraysh. This Meccan chapter is viewed as a continuation of the previous one. So I'm assuming the elephant, the field, I think that's what it meant. The general idea is that the Meccan pagans must be grateful and devoted to God alone for saving the Kaaba from the army of the elephant. Those who are unfaithful to... God and unkind to the helpless are criticized in the next chapter. Subhanallah. So in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, most merciful, at least, so this is God's favor to the Meccans. So at least for the favor of making Quraysh habitably secure in their trading caravan to Yemen in the winter and Syria in the summer. Let them worship the Lord of this sacred house, who has fed them against hunger and made them secure against fear.
Yes. When I hear that one, I think of like the fact that I lived in a place where access to education was easy, where I'm blessed with lots of food and wealth compared to other places in the world. So everything is easy. I'm privileged. Mm. And yet I'm not grateful to the right place for any of those things, and that I was safe. Through many things, like anything that happened to me, somehow I am safe.
You're describing us now and what's happening in Palestine.
Yeah. Like you don't notice until you're tested.
Yes.
Or when you reflect. So this ayah always makes me keep that in mind, especially since we have, it can fit in your prayers.
Because it's one of those small surahs that's in the last chapter of the Quran, chapter 30. But this, you know, being grateful is something that I find that we don't do enough of. And from having the guests over during the season, there's one thing that we tend to do that we shouldn't, which is we go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We pick up the Quran when we are sad, when we feel there's no one else that understands, or I don't know what to do. So in those moments, we reach to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we reach to the Quran. And it's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to constantly have that relationship, whether we are happy, no matter what mental state or no matter what's going on in our life. This is what our soul needs for us to survive this dunya.
Yeah, if you're not grateful, you don't notice what you have.
Until it's taken away from you.
Yeah. And like you can complain, oh, so many dishes to wash, but you have food.
Yes.
You can complain your kids are being terrible and ruining all your walls, but you have a house with walls
and you have kids. Yes.
You can complain that your husband didn't put the lid on the toothpaste again, but you have...
Toothpaste.
Yeah. But you have everything you asked for. Mm. What more are you... Like, I noticed that since all of my du'as have been answered, it's like I need to make du'as that are more specific now because I feel like I have everything I asked for. Alhamdulillah. Like, I feel like I don't need anything else. Like, I should simplify and try to live more according to the sunnah. Like, I have every physical need that I need. Alhamdulillah. So I think being aware of your blessings, then you notice the things that you do need to improve on more. So knowledge, learning to read Arabic so I can recite Quran, even though I'm embarrassed about it, because I recite at the level of grade one. They laugh. I think grade ones, most of them recite better, but
you have to look at the other aspect that you have. You have knowledge, Alex, that I've been a Muslim I was a born Muslim. You have more knowledge than me when it comes to the history and the seerah and all of that.
But if you read, you would get that so easy, because you should understand the language and see it from its original source without reading like 10 translations.
That's what I'm planning to do, inshallah. But I wanted you to see that despite you not being able to read the Quran, you are trying to, or you have educated yourself in other areas of the deen, and you are doing what you can. So please, Allah, the Allah that we worship does not only look at the way you read Quran, he looks at your intention, he looks at everything that you do for this deen.
Alhamdulillah.
May Allah reward you for that, and inshallah make it easy for you to learn Arabic so you can read the Quran better than a first grader.
Inshallah. I will actually start trying again. So like when you have kids, you take a break from that. But alhamdulillah, mine are big enough now that I can get back to... I have
dedicating.
No excuse now for saying I don't have time.
And now you've said it on air, so...
Yes, I've been saying it for a year now.
Inshallah, may Allah make it easy for you. And I'm glad that you didn't put age into the mix, because it was like people like to say, oh, I'm so old now, I don't think I can do it. It's going to be very hard. It's always going to be hard.
Yeah.
No matter what age you're in.
And you were talking to Brother Talal when he was on your show, and he was mentioning like he was embarrassed because of his age. And I actually had meant to click on a different episode, but sometimes I feel like it didn't work and then that one worked.
For a reason.
Like Allah wanted me to listen to that and be like, oh, well, he did it and this is how he did it. And he said he had the same embarrassment, which I'm sure he's better in Arabic than I am still. So I was like, well, if he was embarrassed, well, then it's normal. Maybe I should get over that and try again. And he mentioned that like when you're... The message of the Quran was just revealed at the age of 40 anyway.
Mm.
So,
and when we have this these like fears, I feel it's more of a limiting belief that we set on ourselves. Oh, I'm going to be embarrassed because if somebody, whoever hears me, thinks, why do I care what they think?
Yeah, I feel, for me, sometimes I think it's like that insecurity, like you have this knowledge about what it's saying. So people expect your recitation to be just as lovely to go with it. And I don't have that.
Yeah, but so you have the other side. You have people whose recitation are top notch, but then come and ask them about something and they're like, go ask.
But those grade oneers will like them more.
So mashallah, I love that you have come on today and shared a really different perspective about... First of all, your Islamic journey into Islam, your reversion story is, subhanAllah, spontaneous at the Seattle airport.
Or San Francisco, I don't remember, but I think it was Seattle.
Subhanallah. And the way you have just embraced Islam, like learned the history part of it, and although, yes, your recitation might not be where you aspire for it to be after being a Muslim for so many years.
Yes.
And we're not gonna say how long. But I think somebody is going to relate to your story, and they might, nobody probably called us today, and it's okay. But I'm sure somebody's going to reach out to me later, because that's what they do. They listen when they don't call. And they will say, oh, I loved Alex's show because I could see myself. And I know that's why many of my guests come, because of that intention, similar to Intisar, who gave you the Quran. You have a big intention. May Allah use my story, use my experience, and help someone. Oh Allah, I do this for you. And it's very important for us to do things with the intention it's for Allah.
Yeah. Like, even if you, like, to go back, maybe what's helpful if someone has the same issue as me, is I listen to other people reading it, as if I am reading it with the translation as I'm listening. So at least it's getting into your schedule. Like, it's there. You might not be able to do it very well, but at least you're hearing it, so it fits in. Mm. Or you study a topic.
Yes.
Like something you want to know in Islam that you don't know enough about, or say you're forgetting what was in a certain surah. So.
Or you study the surah itself.
Yeah. Or the history, like try.
I knew history was going to come like, in there somewhere.
Like, I think one of the first time I ever did that is I wanted to research which ayahs are revealed first in order. So I was like, I'm going to read the Quran in the order that it was revealed. Or at least they think it's revealed, because some are confusing. But I'm going to read it in the order that the Sahaba would have heard it in. So like, you hear a different message every time you do it, or you read it in a different way or in a different order. So I found, at least that way you're reading it. Even if you're not physically reading it and you're listening to someone else read it and hearing the meaning, it's still in your life and you're using it. Like we're talking about it, like if it's a gym membership. If it's a gym, like otherwise I won't fit it in my day if I'm not for myself, if I'm trying to, because I can't read it very good. Like I'll get one surah done, definitely not a long one. If I'm lucky, it will take me a really long time. I'll sound bad, I'll feel discouraged. But when I hear someone else read it and I'm reading along, at least it's there.
Yeah, but the one thing you've made, you know that this is important, so you've made it a priority.
Yeah.
And even though you still need to work on one aspect of it, you didn't just entirely say, you know what, this is too difficult, I'm not gonna, you know, even give time. You went to the history aspect. You went to learn about the different times that it was revealed in, and all of that, all the stories of the prophets, peace be upon them. So you're still learning about the Quran, even though you're struggling to read it in Arabic, but you're a student of the Quran. May we always be student of the Quran, inshallah, and always may Allah grant us and be the people of the Quran, بإذن الله تعالى.
Ameen.
Alex, we have come to the end of our show.
Okay.
Thank you so much for joining. Is there something that you'd like to wrap up with before we leave? Anything you'd like to say?
Not that I can think of.
Okay. Jazakallah khair for coming. And as well for your husband who's waiting for us outside. Jazakallah khair, brother, for escorting your wife and supporting her. I want to thank Ahmed Al-Aremi for being the sound engineer. He makes things so smooth. You have no idea sometimes the drama that happens. So I really want to thank Ahmed for his dedication. And thank you, amazing listeners, for listening today. And inshallah, we're back tomorrow, bi'idhni Allah ta'ala, with another episode on Oman FM. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.